welcome to Impact Live Wire, your monthly podcast where we get to know various members of our communities, emerging leaders, innovative thinkers, and other exciting people that support Immatic's mission and have an impact on our lives. I'm your host, Evan Evans. Today, we'll be interviewing Rachel Bates, a leader in the Placement and Assessment Committee.
Rachel, what are some of the things your community is focused on right now?
Well, hi, Evan. It's great to be here this month and our focus this month on placement and assessment with student success. So with that idea, obviously our colleges and universities have had a challenging year with the impact of COVID. And I can't think of one single topic that hasn't resonated with all of our institutions of higher ed more so than placement and assessment. And I would like to think that our community members know the work that's happening nationwide. And if they're in a situation where they're having some challenges, they can reach out to us to help direct those. In addition to, as I had mentioned before, the impact of COVID, the Placement and Assessment Committee has also been working on updating the position statement for the initial placement for students in mathematics at the two-year colleges. And as with all AMATIC communities, we're also really promoting the work of our impact document.
What is your vision for your community in the near future?
Yeah, I think that placement and assessment issues have been a hot topic within higher education, even before COVID, right? Pre-COVID, those issues were there. I think that the COVID situation only heightened those issues, right? Those inconsistencies, perhaps, the non-equitable practices or policies. And I think when we think about academic success, which is the impact strategy we're focusing on this month, academic success really begins before a student actually even applies or enrolls at a college or university, right? I think that in higher ed, we are at a very critical point right now with how we effectively communicate. I'll use my air quotes of college readiness, right? A lot of work has been done over the last decade or so with institutions large and small, two-year, four-year alike, with this emerging idea of college pathways, right? This idea of leading into a particular degree of study. And I think because of those different degrees of study, the mathematical requirements are different, right? And so what that means for one student will be vastly different for another. And so we have to really be careful and mindful about how we talk to our stakeholders about what college readiness really means. And it's not a one size fits all anymore. And I think that's an extremely positive message for students who are coming into the higher educational space, that they know that it's not about a high stake test or a defining moment of, I have to do well on this placement test, right? There are so many other ways that students can enter into our higher educational space. And so I think that's something as our community continues to grow this year, those are some of the issues I anticipate us collaborating on and assisting our institutions with.
What are some of the best resources that that have helped you along the way?
Well, you know, I mean, I think about my higher education career, right? And as an academic and before I got into placement and assessment, you know, when I was a graduate student, a lot of my research was around social justice issues. And again, I mean, when I think about placement and assessment and student success, again, I really do see a space of social justice in there. But when I think about some of the pivotal research, again, as an academic, we all do a lot of reading, right? Especially in my current role, where I'm no longer, you know, actually a faculty member. I work at the state regents office, and we do a lot of research. But I think about, those pivotal research documents that, you know, really shape and define you as a researcher. And for me, I would go back and think about MAA's Common Vision, the work that was done by Dr. Linda Brady. She herself was an MAA fellow. I also was an MAA fellow. And when you think about the work that MAA has done with, again, reshaping and recrafting the vision of mathematics education. I also think too, you know, pivotal documents like AMATIC's earlier work of Crossroads and Beyond Crossroads. Those are just seminal pieces of research that as mathematical faculty, we really need to be reading and be knowledgeable about, because there is such great researchers in both groups, right? In both camps, AMATIC, MAA, NCTM. And those are the types of documents that I've always kind of, you know, gravitated toward in my earlier career.
Who has been your biggest supporter or mentor or role model over the course of your career?
Yeah, you know, I love this question, especially as an educator. We oftentimes don't think about the people that we interact with regularly. And I have this kind of like mental rock star list, right? Especially again, when I was in graduate school and reading all the seminal research, and then actually going to conferences and actually getting to see and meet these actual people, you know, it was like my Hollywood moment, if you will. And again, because of my interest in social justice, math literacy, quantitative literacy, and mathematics education, I was really drawn into some of the early work by Bob Moses with mathematical literacy and civil rights. Of course, you can't talk about that without talking about Lynn Arthur Steen and his seminal work. And of course, I would include Eric Bustein and the work done by Rochelle Gutierrez. Again, just, you know, rock stars of the community, if you think about mathematics education. And when I think about my own teaching, I think about my goal, right? And that I really want to provide students with mathematical reasoning and understanding the world around them, so that they themselves can become agents of change, right? So that they themselves can navigate our ever more social political world and have the tools to understand how the world works. And through the lens of mathematics, again, that's in one way we can empower students.
Why initially did you join your community?
Oh, so this is another great story. I mean, I'm full of stories here, but so I'll have to kind of, you know, go back a little bit, but I've been a part of AMATIC community for nearly a decade. I was teaching in Kansas. I worked at a community college. I really wanted to get active in the AMATIC space. And when I moved from Kansas to Oklahoma in 2011, I wanted to make sure I was being actively involved in AMATIC. And so I went to an AMATIC conference. It was held in Austin. So from Oklahoma to Austin, Texas in 2011, not a considerable distance, but I was traveling then, you know, all out of pocket. I needed to find a hotel. So I found the accommodations page where you could link up with another member and share a room. And my roommate and I got to talk, and she was from SUNY, and she introduced me to her colleague, Jane Tanner. Now, bear in mind, Evan, at this time, I did not know who Jane Tanner was. She was just somebody who came to, you know, we got to talk through my roommate, and we were just talking about, you know, our educational goals and our career advancements, if you will. And I had, you know, I can remember vividly asking, you know, Jane, I really want to be very active. And she said, you know, the best thing to do is go ahead and join a committee, find one that you'd be passionate about and really get involved in it at that level. And so I joined, you know, several of them, but one of them was placement and assessment. And in my role at my community college at that time, I was also kind of helping shape and reform the placement and assessment at our institution. So it just sort of resonated with me at the time. And so it just seemed like a logical fit. But yeah, who would have known those? There's my Jane Tanner story, right? So
what's one common myth about that committee that you would like to debunk?
Yeah, that's a good question, Evan. And I'm not exactly sure if we have myths about the PAC community or PAC community. But I can say this, the Placement and Assessment Committee serves as a general resource on issues related to placement and assessment. And we focus on these best practices, strategies, and models that ultimately can support faculty. Again, we recognize that a lot of these placement and assessment topics could generate through legislation in their respective states. It could be an institutional policy. It could even be a departmental shift, right? And so I know that faculty are looking for support, right? And so if you are an individual faculty member and you're working at your institution and you're trying to find support for change or support for a idea, again, this is what our AMATIC communities do. And with placement and assessment, again, we really do focus around those two areas, placement as well as various assessment practices.
What's something about you that most people familiar with you or your work wouldn't know?
Yeah, so good. Another good question, Evan. With a long story, but you know, I myself am a first generation high school graduate. I also am the first college graduate and the first person in my family to have an advanced degree. Right, as a high school student, I was placed into tracking. So again, I'm a product of the 80s in school. And my tracking wasn't because of my academic ability. It was really based upon my social economic status and not my intellectual capabilities. I was just told one day, I'm no longer in this class, I'm now in this class. And nobody ever gave me any justification or reason as to why I was. But that had a profound effect on me as a, you know, sophomore in high school. And teachers and administrators telling me, basically defining who I was. And so as a young person, you could imagine that struggle, that internal struggle, that identification where your peers are going off to college and you are not, right? And so it's really something that's resonated with me. Obviously, it shaped who I am today. It shaped how I have become a teacher and how I view myself as a mathematical educator. And there's probably several listeners that could, you know, relate to that very same story. We know that it happens, right? And I think as mathematical educators, we really have to band together, right? And suppress those types of practices and recognizing that regardless of a student's gender, ethnicity, geographical region, zip code, that they all have, you know, unlimited untapped potential given opportunity, right? And that's something, like I said, as a math educator, I try to inspire each and every day in the work that I do.
If our listeners would like to connect with you either online or offline, where's a good place that they can connect with you and your community?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have the new My AMATIC website, you know, so we want to encourage our AMATIC members to join the various committees. Again, you can be members of all the PAC or of all the communities. If you really have an interest in PAC, we certainly want you to be there. But you can connect with me via the AMATIC portal directory, and you can find me online that way.
Thank you, Rachel Bates, and all the work that you and the Placement Assessment Committee are doing. Please join us every month where we interview leaders in our profession. Until then, continue to make an impact every day.